Hey, this is Ron Jacobs, and recently I had somebody contact me on email and asking me, "Hey, Ron, how do I secure a workflow service so that only certain people can call it?" It's a very good question because it's not entirely obvious. In this first release of Workflow 4, really the way you have to do that is with an extensibility mechanism that WCF provides, and it's kind of lower in the stack, so it might not be obvious to you. So let's take a look what I've got here on the screen. I have a service here. This is a WCF workflow service. I just did file new WCF workflow service, and this is your basic thing, what you get. You get a request with data, and the data that comes in is just an int, right? So there it is, a data int. Okay. And then I modified the response a little bit so it says you said, and calls data toString. All right. So that's what we've got to work with. Now, in its out-of-the-box state, really anybody could call this, right? And it's going to use basic HTTP binding, and there's no security really involved in it at all. So I wanted to do some things to make this a little more secure. So the first thing I did was to bring in some references. So I brought in a reference to system configuration and system.identity model, because we're going to be using those. And then I made some modifications here in the web.config. So what the reason I added system configuration is to for this little key right here. So what I've done is I created a key in my web config that tells me, who do I want to allow to call this service. So basically I'm saying here, I can call it, and anyone who's a member of administrators on this machine can call it. Okay, and then I made some other changes in here in the web.config. So here's another change I did. I did a protocol mapping to cause the service to use the WSHTTP binding. Now I did that because the WSHTTP binding will pass credentials by default. So we'll get the user credentials. If you just use basic HTTP, you won't get any credentials passed into you. And then I did something else. I added a new behavior here that you might not be used to seeing, and it's the service authorization behavior. Now this allows me to create a class called a service authorization manager. So I've created that and I added it in here with the name of the assembly and the type. So let's take a look at the service authorization manager. It's really pretty basic. There's nothing very hard about it. And we'll go full screen here. So you see, here's the class. It's inherited from Service Authorization Manager. I have an array here that I'm going to use to store who it allows. And so when we construct this thing, I'll just go get that key out of my config and split it by the commas, and I know who it's allowed, right? And here I override this method, this check access core. Now it hands me in an operation context, which is something I don't have access to directly in the workflow service. And so I can get this, I get the list of identities from the context of who's calling. And then I just go through the identities and see, I'm going to get the convert that into a Windows identity. And then I just say, get the principal, the Windows principal out of that identity. And then down here, I just go through my list and I say, is in role. Okay? And if they're in the role, return true. Otherwise, they're going to return false. So that's my authorization manager. And now, so this looks pretty interesting so far. Let's see how we test it out. So let's fire this guy up. Okay, so the first thing we want to do here is run the WCF test client to connect to this thing. So I've been testing this thing for a while now, so I'm just going here to add that. And I just ran this under my identity. So this call should work. And let's just take a look. So I'm going to call in here get data. In .NET 4, you'll see that when we do a system nullable, it doesn't allow me to put a value right there. What I have to do is select system nullable and then expand this. Now I can put a value. So I'm going to say and pass a 1 here, and let's call our service. Now I see Visual Studio has broken here, and we've got our authorization context, and this is why we need the identity model. And if we look in here, we see there's a bunch of interesting stuff and claim sets and so forth. So let's scroll down here a little bit. We'll get the identities. We'll go through the list of identities. And if we look at this Windows identity, we'll see there it is. That's me, Redmond Roe Jacobs. Okay, so this is going to be allowed, of course, so it's going to work. And there it is. It worked. All right. So that's pretty cool. Now, how do we test to see that this doesn't work? Well, okay, so on this computer, I've got another account for my son named Andrew. So I'm going to log in, run this as Andrew with the run as command. So I have to put in the password here. Okay, and there's Andrew's. This process is running as him. So we'll fire it up. Go in here and call get data. So we'll change that. We'll pass in a 1. Say invoke. Okay, and now we go through here. We'll check the identity, and we see that it is indeed Andrew. And of course, he's going to go through this list of who's in service allows, which he's not in there, right? And so this is just going to go through and say access denied. All right, so that's it really. It's not all that difficult. Now, there is an SDK sample in the Windows Workflow SDK that shows something very similar to this, only it kind of does it with claims. And, you know, of course, if you're kind of forward-looking, you know that claims-based identity is kind of the way to go, and everything's sort of moving that direction. But, you know, I recognize some people are still like, nah, you know, I don't have time to think about claims. I just want to deal with people and who's allowed to call this thing. Or, you know, very often you'll have a service and you say there's only one identity that can call it. It's the identity of the app pool that the web app runs under. So this is the sort of way that you can very simply make that work. Now, I'm sharing this code on my blog at blogs.msdn.com/rjacobs, and you'll also find it on Channel 9. So, thanks a lot for watching. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.